Okay.
I'd like to call the special meeting of council to order May 17, 2018 at 8 p.m. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hullum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
And Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
I think I'm reading Councilman Fiebig's mind. Motion to excuse Councilwoman Janet Micah from tonight's meeting.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to excuse Councilwoman Micah from this evening's meeting. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Councilwoman Micah has been excused from this evening's meeting. The first order of business this evening is public portion. This is an opportunity for individuals to come forth and state their thoughts and opinions. We ask that you give your name and your address. You have 3 minutes.
And it's a special meeting.
And it's a special meeting, so we have two things on the agenda, so that's what we prefer that you speak to. And I would prefer that there be no bullying. And those of you who think that's very funny, come sit up here. Run and come sit up here. Public portion's open at 8:02. Mr. Miller.
My name's Tony Miller, and I live at 2857 Hayes Drive. And tonight I want to talk about sort of two sides of a coin. And I'll start on the one side. On the one side, there's the supermajority and the people that agree with them. And on the other side are the people that disagree with them. For instance, let's talk about Mr. Germano. I don't believe that he agrees with your side or your thoughts or your actions or your how you run the city. And you've tried to get rid of him. I don't know where that stands. I know you were.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. What does that have to do with tonight's business?
I'm getting there. Number two, Mr. Loeby, the acting law director, he didn't prefer your side
Mr.
as
Miller,
well.
Mr. Could you please get to your point?
Yes, I will. Do I have 3 minutes and I get to voice my opinion? Yes or no?
I'm asking you to state
Thank you.
Your
Thank
thoughts
you.
And opinions
so
on tonight's
you
agenda.
You guys didn't care for him. You tried. So he resigned basically because of your actions and your words. Let's see. There was the secretary, the mayor's the assistant, and let's see. There was the Grange thing, and then there was Whisper thing that you guys tried to scare her off with. That didn't work. So what'd you do? You defunded her position and got rid of her. So, you know, it seems like those people that don't agree with you, you find ways to get rid of. And the mayor. I believe everything that's gone on with the mayor. How many seconds do I have left?
You have 1 minute and 16 seconds, sir.
So the mayor. Everything that I've seen going on with you guys and the mayor has been nothing but bullying and trying to get rid of him, and that hasn't worked. But you're still trying to get rid of him. I think tonight's agenda and that what you're trying to do tonight is just another example of that. So there's that side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, there's people that agree with you. So let's talk about Mr. Byron. Mr. Byron was an employee of the city and got fired. And what did you do? You put him on as law director. All right? There's another person on this council that sued the city for $25,000 And yes, indeed, one cost the city $25,000. All right. But every other person that you that have sued, recently sued the city, you've condemned. But what did you do to this person? You appoint them to an empty spot on the council member. Isn't that correct, Ms. Lenz?
That is absolutely correct.
It just too much of a coincidence how this supermajority functions.
Joyce.
I'm going to pull the mic down. Good evening. My name is Joyce Grady. I live at 3020 Markham Boulevard, Willoughby Hills. I don't have a whole lot to say this evening, except I'm very unhappy with the way this government is operating. And I think each of you are partly to blame for my nervousness of what's going on in this city. And I'm very concerned about the general attitude of those people who don't think it's necessary to come up here because they really can't see anything that's wrong. Unfortunately, I hope they see it before it's too late. Thank you.
Anybody else this evening? Chris?
Chris Welsh, 38801 Chardon Road. Does the city have a labor attorney?
No.
Does the city need a labor attorney? I'll answer my own question. Yes, they do, because I am a member of a union, a labor union, for 28-plus years. The city I work for, the union has a labor attorney, the city has a labor attorney, but the administration of the city also sits on the negotiations, but not without the city. They have their own labor attorney. My union's been around for 70-plus years. They have an attorney. The contract is in question. There was no good faith to start with. Ask me. It just was. Everyone has their own opinion. I don't believe in general administrative personnel. Doesn't sound like it should be unionized because it's administration. But the city needs to have an attorney that specializes in labor law, because the contract that was presented is ridiculous. It's a little fat to be the first offer that came out of the administration. If the union would have presented it, the administration should have said no, because no public employee has tenure. None. There, it doesn't exist. Unlimited vacation time, unheard of. General raises, yes, but 333 across the board is a little rich to start with. That's above the state average. I believe it's in the city's best interest to hire a labor attorney. This is for the employees and the city. And as a resident, if all the people in this room are residents, it's important that the city employees, they work for us. They can earn a living, but this is not a job agency. So the city should get an attorney. That's my thought. Thank you.
Linda?
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham Boulevard. I am glad we have this council up here. I am glad that we have more money to do roads. I am glad we have more police and that we can have more fire. Thank you. I hear a lot about Mr. Miller saying you're bullies. Another person who is nervous because they don't like the way the government's going. I don't like the way the government's going. The mayor is responsible for that, not council. Council is moving in the right direction. We have a council member up here who likes to spread fake news, quote, fake news. You can smirk all you want. You know who you are. It's time that everybody get together, work together. Where's the mayor? Does he wanna work with you? Many times I've heard you ask him at a council meeting, will you work with us? And he just sits there and stares. What kind of mayor is that? Thank you.
Anybody else this evening? Of course, Dale.
Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. So I think it is pretty transparent today what's going on is the mayor's not here. He's been MIA at the last several meetings. It is all about this labor union that obviously he's supposed to be representing the city's interest, and he obviously is not. He's been representing his staff's interest, not the interest of the city. I mean, that's pretty transparent. And speaking of transparency, Mr. Allen, I'm just curious why I'm on Next Door Neighbor now and can't see some of the postings that you make. Couldn't be that I got blocked. Is that?
Can't block in Next Door.
Like Mrs. Pismo's not, she hasn't been blocked either, right?
You can't block them Next Door.
No. Okay, sure. Right. Yeah, we'll all believe that, too. So, anyway, I think what you're doing is unfortunate that you have to do it, but when the mayor's MIA is not responding to ULP requests, is blocking and actually basically fired the labor attorney that won the last case, the labor attorney that has the expertise to represent the city's interest, which is all 9 or 10,000 residents, I think it's pretty transparent where the mayor's interests are.
Mr. McKenna.
Ed McKenna, 2963 Lamplight Lane, 44094. Actually, I wasn't going to speak tonight, but, you know, I can't go by without hearing some things I don't agree with. First of all, I would advise each of you to reread the court's decision. I think you're violating some items in that court decision in a number of ways. Okay. And what's the second point? Oh, I think the mayor is doing what he believes is in the best interest of the city. It's just an opinion different than yours, okay? So I applaud him for what he's doing. Okay, thank you.
Cheryl.
Cheryl Oda, 2960 Markham Boulevard. One thing, Laura, do you mind if I talk about your lawsuit?
I would love it. Thank you.
Okay. Laura and her son, Laura was on the Recreation Commission, or committee, I'm not sure exactly which, and her son was working as a monitor, 16 years old, over at the community center. Well, here comes John Pleshnik, and he's going to run for council. And Laura decides that she's going to back John. And as soon as the mayor found that out, he told her not to come to recreation anymore, and he fired her son. So there's a 16-year-old that's devastated because he got fired for political reasons. So if you want to talk about things that don't seem quite fair, that certainly does seem quite unfair. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Doris?
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. And you're referring to your second ordinance here. Now, I know the mayor hasn't been present for a number of meetings lately, but in the past, when he was here at one time, he was very actively in favor of this union. So I think that there is some bias here, and anyone that shows any kind of bias or has some affirmation for one side versus the other really should not be involved in the negotiation process. He should be impartial here and represent the city. And from what I've seen, when he was in a meeting, he was in an adversarial position. So I do agree with the passage of your second ordinance tonight.
Anyone else this evening? I will close public portion at 8:15 p.m. So, Mr. Miller, I'm going to respond to one of your comments. And I've heard this comment on and off for a while. Many years ago, before I was on council, Mr. Steve Byron was the prosecutor for the city. When the person that was the mayor was going to rerun, Mr. Mike Germano, who was on council, was going to run against him for mayor. That mayor didn't want him to run against him, so they cut a deal. And that mayor got rid of Steve Byron to put in Mike Germano as the prosecutor. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it firing. You can call it that Steve walked out the door and never said a word about it after. That's the story, and that's the truth. So I would appreciate you quit telling people that he was fired because he wasn't, and anybody else that says that story. And if I had been at council at that time and knew about it, that would have been a criminal offense for that deal. The other thing, Mr. McKenna, you continue to tell us they're violating the court, and the mayor's doing the right thing. Do you have a law degree? I don't think so.
Do you have a law degree?
I don't, and I don't make legal judgments. However...
Do you have a law director?
Yeah, well, why not?
You have an attorney, that's
why not, yeah.
Because a mayor doesn't bring individuals to our council that are qualified for the position. Just like he didn't bring a fire chief that was qualified for the position. Just like he didn't bring a building inspector that was qualified for the position. You get notes from somebody, and you stand here and read them, and you can't even read properly.
No, Mr. McKenna, I understand that she may be engaging. No, 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 Mr. McKenna, you are out of order, and I will have the police remove you if you continue.
You come up here at every meeting. You've got notes from whomever tells you to read them. You can't even read them properly, and you make accusations that are not true.
One more, and you'll be removed. One more, and you'll...
It's a lie? What you say is a lie.
Out of here.
Nothing but the truth.
Excuse me, Madam President.
I'm the facilitator, and I'm running the meeting, and I'm clarifying things.
Let the record reflect that Mr. McKenna has been ruled out of order three times.
I gave him the gavel so that I could speak as not the council president, but as the council member. And to another point, when you talk about supermajorities or majorities of council, we are a body of one. We are seven individuals that are a body of one. We are not a minority, a majority, a supermajority. Queens, who used Queens lately? Oh, he's not here tonight because he doesn't want to, he's a coward. We are a body of one. We vote as a unit.
It's out of order.
Oh, no, it's not.
Mr. Miller, you are now ruled out of order.
No, it's not,
second
sir.
Second time. One more and you'll be asked to be removed.
You individuals come up here and you have nothing but bad things to say about us. You don't agree with anything we do. You don't talk to us civilly. What? What?
You don't talk civilly yourself.
I hardly ever talk at this dais.
Miss Lori Walsh has now been ruled out of order once, twice more, and you'll be asked
to speak at this dais.
Answer your melting down. Don't do this in public.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Walsh has melted down and he's been ruled out of order once.
Right, I'll take the gavel back.
You guys are bullies, that's
true. Twice on Miss Lori Walsh.
What?
Anybody have anything to finish up on public portion?
Madam President, if I may, I really want to follow off with the very kind comments of Miss Cheryl Oda, because I will say that I will never forget how Laura Lenz and her family supported me in my first race for council. Anybody who's been to a council meeting in Willoughby Hills knows how difficult these campaigns are. And that she was willing to stand up and campaign for me with her family is something I can never thank her for enough. And I know it was sincere because I worked with Ms. Lenz for 2 years on the Recreation Commission. Between the two of us, we knocked on every single business in Willoughby Hills 3 times asking for donations for our annual city fair. And I saw firsthand how passionate Laura was for her city. And I couldn't have been more disturbed when the day after the election was resolved, the day after the mayor fired Ms. Lenz's son and put her off the Recreation Commission. And frankly, I know many department heads warned the mayor. They privately approached me. They told him, we know if you do this, you'll be sued, and we know if you do this, you'll lose. But the mayor was so angry and so political that he retaliated against our resident and our neighbor, Laura Lenz. And to this day, it bothers me that there's never been a full accounting. Because, yes, the city lost money because of what the mayor did. And his infringement of our residents' First Amendment rights did cost us as a community more than the money. It cost people the ability to speak out without worrying that the mayor would fire or retaliate against them. And I've talked to so many residents who said, we love you, John, but if I put up your sign, maybe the Whisper program won't help me. And if I put up your sign, maybe the leaf pickup will miss me. And if I put out your sign, who knows what the mayor will do to me. And Laura Lenz is the perfect example of why we know there's retaliation in this city. This is a fact. You can't debate or dispute what happened. It's on the record that he fired her son. It's on the record that he lost the case. It's on the record what he did and when he did it. These are not things we can debate. And it's really sad that we're still having this conversation 4 years later, because in most cities, the mayor would have resigned after an embarrassment like that, and we would have moved forward. But he's still here, kind of. Where is the mayor tonight? You cannot work with someone who's not ready to work with you. You cannot work with someone who's not even interested in engaging. And by the way, when council members express concern about notes being shared, well, there's a real validity to it. We found out through various public records requests that a certain city employee was telling several members of council exactly what to say each meeting. And interestingly enough, turns out they said exactly what they were told to say in those emails. So we know where these vicious talking points came from. We know this was not spontaneous, good faith discussion or debate. We know it came from vile political sources. Now, there are a lot of good people who work for this city. There are a lot of good people who nonetheless have stepped up to run and to serve. Some have won, some have lost, but a lot of good people have stepped up anyway, even though they know that there are those who years later will go on social media and attack and attack and attack out of bitterness, years after their campaigns. This hall should be a place of respect where we can have a real dialogue with one another, because the issues are never going to get easier. And the only way we can have a legitimate, honest discussion is if we respect one another. Firing people when they disagree with you politically is wrong. But you know what? Only one person has demonstrably done that in Willoughby Hills, and his name is Robert Wager. There were reductions of positions in the budget, and we know why. It's because the mayor submitted a deficit budget to council. And his quote-unquote balanced budget that he submitted after we absolutely refused to vote for deficit spending was not balanced. We went through it line by line, and I encourage any one of you to read through the minutes of those meetings. Because you'll see that the savings the mayor proposed weren't real. He said, well, we'll save money by cutting Peter DeFranco, our city engineer's salary, in half without hiring a building inspector to take over the responsibilities Peter would no longer do. You cannot save money by simply not doing the job. And if we were to hire a building inspector, it would have cost twice as much or more. That's not savings. That's actually more expensive. So no, the mayor never proposed a balanced budget. And anyone who actually does the hard work of reading through the minutes, or if you don't trust the minutes, listen to the audio, can see for themselves that the mayor never proposed a balanced budget. I'm the chair of finance. I live with these numbers. I know Councilwoman Laura Pichemot worked very hard in the budget too. And anyone who actually reviews it line by line, it's a public record, please do, can see what we were forced to work with. The reason we're paving more than twice as many roads this year, and you see our road crew out working so hard, and so many thanks to Mark Rubis and his team for getting out there and really doing our residents proud. The last council meeting, we had two residents who came just to say thank you for the road repaving. That's a wonderful thing. That's a positive thing, and that's what our city should be known for serving our residents well. We have the mayor, for once, doing something positive, swearing in new police and firefighters, and we're so grateful for that good news for the city. But instead of talking about these positive developments and the reduction in our city debt, at the State of the City's address, I'm sitting there with one other council person, Councilwoman Micah. The mayor wanted to talk about himself suing the city and how angry he was with council. This is an opportunity for us at the Chamber of Commerce to sell our city and our community and to show the positive. We'll always have challenges, and there'll always be political disagreements. It's been tough in Willoughby Hills, but go to Richmond Heights, go to Mentor, go to Willoughby, go to Wycliffe. You'll see disagreements at the table, too, handled a lot more respectfully in most cases, but still disagreements. Because there are always tough issues that cities have to work through. We don't have an unlimited amount of money, and we have to decide on our priorities. But a good mayor is going to sell the positive when he steps outside the community. He's going to talk about what we've done right rather than talking about his lawsuit suing his city. That's never going to convince a business to come to Willoughby Hills. It's going to convince them to run away screaming. You want to talk about a meltdown? That mayor melted down as our representative in front of all of the other cities and business owners in our half of the county. And I was embarrassed for Willoughby Hills. We have to do better. And I'm happy to have this conversation with the mayor, respectfully, here at the dais, in front of you. I want you to be part of that conversation, too, and say, Mr. Mayor, why wouldn't you sell the positive? Why wouldn't you tell the businesses how many roads we're repaving, how we're reducing our city debt so we're more fiscally responsible and in a better place to serve you? Why wouldn't you sell the sewer fee cut that Councilwoman Janet Micah and I pioneered and passed last year, which makes it more affordable for businesses to come here? There are so many things we could talk about, but instead, I sued the city. That's the mayor's State of the City address. We have to do better than that. And by the way, that's not my opinion. That's a fact. Ask any economic developer, should our mayor lead with, I'm suing my own city and I hate council, at an event where he's trying to recruit businesses and convince them this is a fertile ground for them? No one will say that's a good idea. Not one will defend that behavior because it's indefensible. And I hate to jump ahead, but I think it's appropriate. I know many of you are here tonight because you're worried about ordinance number 2018-27, which very specifically removes the mayor from negotiations. It doesn't make Nancy the mayor of Willoughby Hills, although I think we could do a lot worse than Mayor Nancy Fellows. It doesn't make her the mayor of Willoughby Hills. It gives her a very specific responsibility. It doesn't pay her anything to do it, to handle the negotiations with the secretaries, the AFSCME union. And I'll tell you why. I think that many of you haven't actually read through the ordinance in the packet in full. Are you aware, as a community, because you need to be, because this is your money, that the secretaries' union sued our city, filing an unfair labor practice, demanding that they get the compensation and benefits that has never been approved by your elected officials, never been voted affirmatively by council, and gets all their positions back? So we'd have to fire those new police and firefighters. We would have to cancel those road repavings. We'd probably end up having to borrow a lot of money. And then next year, when other union contracts come due, just wait and see whether the police and the fire and the service are happy with a 1-1-1 or a 2-2-2 when they see secretaries getting a 3-3-3. I don't think I need to tell you that every labor attorney we've talked to told us that that will be the first thing those other unions bring forward. This was horribly irresponsible. It was indefensible that this contract ever got this far. But I was stunned to find that after the mayor fired the labor attorney who won the first ULP that the union filed, that the mayor didn't respond to the ULP as of the deadline on Monday. He knew about the deadline. He forwarded it to council. He told us about the ULP. And he didn't respond. This Monday was the deadline. This mayor as your fiduciary, has to defend you. It is his legal obligation. And not only did he fire the lawyer who was defending all of us as taxpayers, he then proceeded to do nothing. One could only in good faith presume he wanted the city to lose and the union to win. And that's not he said, she said, my opinion, his opinion. That's a fact. A fiduciary of the city doesn't have a choice. You might think the city is terrible and horrible. You might want the city to lose. But if you want to serve as a mayor or a council person, you have to defend your city. That's your job. That's not a matter of opinion. That's a matter of fact. And frankly, to have fired the attorney that was defending the city and then do nothing up to the deadline, we're talking borderline criminal actions here. Depending on his intent and what other evidence exists, that could be criminal. This is that serious. This is that bad. And we need to come together as a community to ask the mayor, what are you doing? In what universe is it okay for you to not defend your own city, to fire the attorney who won the first ULP, and then to let the deadline pass? Thank God for council and Councilman Dave Fiebig, who called CERB and said, we need an extension for our city to defend our taxpayers. That's the job we've been elected to do. That's the job the mayor was elected to do. And each and every person in this room owes the mayor a phone call and needs to ask him, why didn't you defend me? I'm paying you. I'm paying for your health benefits. I'm paying for your pension. I'm paying for your salary. Your job as a fiduciary of the city is to defend me. And you fired the lawyer who's defending me and then did nothing yourself. Are you representing me or are you representing the secretary's union? Are you representing me or are you representing your campaign manager? Are you representing me or are you representing yourself? And at this point, we can't avoid those questions. Unless if we just don't come to meetings. And someone is not here. And my understanding is the mayor's reasoning for why he couldn't join us this evening, even though so many residents who aren't being paid somehow found the time, is he had to work this morning, and so he's tired. Well, I had to work this morning, too. I suspect that most of us here, except for the few of us who have our well-earned retirement, that most of us had to work this morning. It's no excuse for missing an evening meeting, and it's no excuse for avoiding the very real question of why didn't you defend us? Are you a criminal? Or are you just incompetent? Because those are the only two alternatives. There is no more public portion this meeting, unfortunately. But I think you should ask the mayor those questions, because they're critical. And his phone number is available on the website. I'm not going to call him out and state it. But it's available on the website, and you should call the mayor. And you should ask him personally, why wasn't I worth defending? This is beyond debate. No one can defend this behavior anymore. It would be a meltdown. It would be an embarrassment to even try. And I feel sad for anyone who would. Because either you're involved in this possible criminal enterprise, or you know what the mayor's doing is wrong. Those are the only two choices. This is beyond opinion. A mayor has to defend their city. This is not a question. It's not a debate. The only remaining issue is, why did the mayor fail to defend us? And I want to ask him that question at the next council meeting. And Mayor Wager, I suspect you're watching tonight, and I'm calling on you to come to our next council meeting and answer why you failed to defend our city. And are you prepared to take responsibility and resign? Thank you.
Anybody else?
Madam President, while we have a moment to discuss this the labor union issue, I should let you know that just prior to this meeting, we had a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and there was no clerk here. There's no reason that I'm aware of that there shouldn't be a clerk, because we appropriated the funds for a clerk to be here. I found out through discussions with the chair that the union told her not to come. Now, assuming that that's true, and I can't say for sure, I didn't hear it directly from the union, but it seems to me that we've got a situation here in the city where perhaps people are striking. It turns out that the chair said that we're not going to have any other meetings until we have a clerk. And I overheard a conversation from our BZA chair that He's not having any other meetings until they have a clerk. So I think we need to address that issue. Perhaps we need to address it at our next council meeting, but I wanted to bring it up. I said that I would. We also made a motion to for the Planning Commission to ask the mayor specifically for legal representation for the CSL Blood Plasma Center applicant, because they came in front of our committee of council with a lawyer and have done a public records request, and I think their posturing was one of, well, we're ready to sue. So I think it's prudent that we encourage the mayor to hire an attorney specifically for the planning and zoning issues, and the body did formally ask for that in an affirmative unanimous vote tonight. Thank you.
Madam President, I just want to reiterate that the union contract, the AFSCME union contract, forbids employees from striking, and it also forbids the employees in the union from impeding city business. So if there is a strike, if there's an effective strike, if the union is actively trying to impede city business, then the city may have legal action that it can take against the union ourselves. So.
There's a couple things I want to say, and first of all, I want to apologize. It's been exceedingly challenging, as you all know, on either side of the coin, as Mr. Miller said. Just a short thing about not having clerks. Chairs of council committee meetings, we take all our own minutes. I mean, the commissions have numerous people on them. They could certainly appoint one to be a scribe, or they can even share one scribe, one meeting, another, next, whatever. That's not my call, because commissions are the mayor's, but certainly someone can do minutes, or you can tape them as well. The other thing I want to share, so many times people have talked about working together. So about a month ago, the mayor and I met with Commissioner Jerry Serino. And the mayor asked him, why would we meet with him? Why did you ask us to come and meet with you? And Mr. Serino said, because I'm concerned. People in the county have come to me. People from Willoughby Hills have come to me. People from my church. He attends Divine Word, and many Willoughby Hills residents attend that church. Are asking him, what can you do? What's going on? So the commissioner reached out to the mayor and I. We met with him about 4 weeks ago now for 3 hours. And it was heated in the beginning, both by Bob and I. And as we talked through things, the last hour, we actually began to talk about how we could address issues and resolve problems. The commissioner asked for a second meeting. We scheduled it, and the mayor canceled it. And we have yet had an opportunity to come back to the table to see if we could begin to implement some of the things that we talked about. I've met with the mayor on many occasions. We've talked about things. I've said that I would bring things back to council because I can't make any decisions for council by myself. None of us can. And then a week later, it's something different. So maybe I'm at fault for not sharing over time that I have reached out to the mayor to work with him, whether I was on council or whether I was in this position. If one of the two people don't come together to work together, then I don't know how you resolve anything. So I wanted to share that's what I've been engaged with him and Commissioner Serino. So, and I apologize for not being appropriate.
Madam President. The only thing you should apologize for is being too kind, frankly, We're so grateful to you for leading what have been very difficult meetings. Sitting next to you, I appreciate that the hardest job is holding the gavel. I do occasionally. And you should know how great the respect of your colleagues and residents are for you and for the work you do for all of us, because you give us all the opportunity to speak, even when a few people try to derail the discussion. And it is not fair or right for any one person to jump in out of turn in violation of Robert's rules and the law and personally attack others, because there are so many more that will never speak when they know they'll be shouted down. And only because of your careful handling of the gavel do people feel free to speak, especially those who disagree with you. I think it's telling how free they feel to speak because of the respect that you show every viewpoint. And to me, you're the epitome of someone who brings us together.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. All right. We have two ordinances on the legislation part of the agenda. Vicki, the first one is Ordinance 2018-25 as amended. Please read the caption.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor of the city of Willoughby Hills to participate in the Ohio Department of Transportation's ODOT annual winter road salt bid 018-19 in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code 5513.01b. and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
One second.
Oh, sorry.
Councilman Pismo. So at the last council meeting, this was on first reading. We did not have the quantity of tons of salt that we had to purchase. And my understanding is that this needed to be submitted by the 18th of May. Am I correct, Mr. Grubas? I think it was going to be before the next council meeting, though. And so that's why we wanted to get this out tonight and get this passed so you could order this off.
Madam President,
yes.
Move to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance Number 2018-25 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2018-25 as amended. Any discussion on that motion?
Madam President, we did ask the mayor to provide us with this number prior to that meeting, and I got no response to that question. So that's why it wasn't there. It wasn't a fault of council. It was the mayor has to submit to us what his request is. I did request that we ask for more road salt, but I don't know that I ever got the answer of how much did we order last year.
It was 4,200 tons last year.
Okay, thank you. So this is 5,000. 42 was last year.
The 1,000 that you're going to get for the summer.
And then four now.
And then four for the winter.
Correct. That's 5,000. 4,200 was last year. Thank you.
And just keep in mind, we have to take 90%. Whether we use it or not, we can't store it outside. So if we have a mild winter, we discuss that.
We will.
Right. Yeah, and I believe everybody knows and understands that.
Madam President, two things. One, the mayor sent us a memo today that was accusing us of not giving enough notice about this meeting and calling a special meeting and making kind of a big deal about having a special meeting. But we needed to have a special meeting not just for Ordinance Number 2018-27, but also so that we can get salt for the winter. And just real quick, the contract here, it says it must be it says no later than Wednesday, May 18th, 2018, and May 18th, 2018 is Friday. It's tomorrow. So I'm not sure if that's something that needs to be fixed.
I'm sorry.
The attachment?
Yeah, on the attachment it says Wednesday, May 18th, 2018, and it's Friday. So I don't know if that's a material error or if it's something we need to correct or not.
Okay.
That's all.
It's off of the states.
Wednesday should be Friday.
Well, this is their...
It's a state template.
It's the state template. I went by the date, so did Mark.
Okay, so we'll just go by the date. Okay, that's fine.
That was what's on Mark's memo.
Okay.
And just so everybody knows, special council meetings by the charter can be called 24 hours in advance. And Vicki actually submitted the notification and the agenda 48 hours in advance. So we are in compliance with the charter in terms of calling a special council meeting. And just FYI, when you have a committee meeting, that has to be 7 days in advance. So we have a motion to waive the three reading rule. Any other comment on that? Vicki?
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
The motion to waive the three reading rule for 2018-25 as amended has passed.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo. Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to approve ordinance 2018-25 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt ordinance 2018-25 as amended. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
The motion to adopt 2018-25 as amended has passed. The next one is 2018-27.
An ordinance to remove the mayor as the sole negotiating agent acting on the part of the city in any matter in connection with the Willoughby Hills Ask Me Union pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 4117.20b and declaring an emergency.
Madam President, do we need to waive the two-day notification rule?
No.
Just the three-day? Okay.
Correct.
Madam President, move to waive the three-reading rule on ordinance number 2018-27.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Pleshnick to waive the three-reading rule on ordinance 2018-27. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Pismo.
In March, the City Council passed a budget which changed some positions and eliminated some positions, administrative positions, and then we put money from those positions that we saved into hiring more firefighters to fully staff our fire department and pave more roads. As a result of passing that budget, the AFSCME union, which some of the employees that were affected in by the budget, sued the city and filed a ULP. It's called a ULP, an unfair labor practice, charging that the city council, by passing a budget, was union busting. So anticipating that, because it was threatened even before we passed the budget, this ULP, city council passed an ordinance to hire a labor attorney who had worked for the city in the past on labor issues just like this one, again against the same union who filed a ULP a few months earlier. A week or so later, after council set aside a veto that the mayor vetoed the ordinance that hired that attorney, the mayor sent that attorney a letter essentially firing that attorney. City Council, I think we just said, okay, we'll let the mayor do what he wants to do here. We'll see what happens. Well, he had until May 14th to defend the interests of the city. You don't necessarily need an attorney to defend the interests of the city. You just need to answer the charges in the ULP. Well, Councilman Fiebig called CERB on the day of the deadline, May 14th, and nothing was filed. If nothing is filed from the city, if there is no defense, then all the allegations that are alleged in the ULP charge are assumed to be true, meaning that the city automatically loses, in essence. So that, again, is not doing our job. I would argue that is nonfeasance of office right there. But what Councilman Fiebig did is he was able to get the city a three-week extension. So we only have 3 weeks to make sure that our city is defended. So the point is that we need to move quickly with this to make sure that our interests of our city are defended so that, as Councilman Pleshnick said, we don't have to fire the new firefighter that we just hired. We can hire more as we planned. We can still pave those five roads rather than having to roll that back and go back to two or none. So these are the things that we need to do to defend the interests of our city, and that's why this is important and we need to move quickly on this.
Madam President, to the three reading rule specifically, when I first joined council almost every ordinance was waived. So one thing I'm really heartened by is I hear residents who are concerned when we waive the three reading rule, which is appropriate to do when there's true urgency. A 3-week deadline, for example, to respond to a lawsuit where the city loses if we fail to respond is an example of that urgency. But I do really want to share that this is something that I fought for as a council person, that we use this waiver judiciously. In the past, almost every ordinance was waived and adopted. You'll notice that that's the exception to the rule, as well it should be today. And I will say, for those of you who want to know the origins of the rule, you know, I was very grateful to the News Herald that allowed me the opportunity to expound, but most historians believe that it started in English Parliament and is a practice that carried on to most commonwealths like Canada, the United States, right down to our city level. But actually, the three reading rule and its original administration goes back to ancient Athens, where the Assembly of Athens made rash decisions and decided to change their rules. More specifically, they were in a war with Sparta, and there were large fleets that were fighting one another, and the Athenians lost to the Spartans in a big naval battle, which is hardly surprising. This is Sparta versus the philosophers. And with half their fleet sinking and the sailors about ready to die, the generals had to make a decision. Do we save the drowning sailors, or do we go back to defend Athens? Because what if the Spartan fleet is heading to finish us off? Well, they decide to go back to Athens to defend their city. And the Spartans weren't there. Turns out the Spartans decided to go home and celebrate, and they'd let half their fleet drown and die. And of course, there are all these angry parents standing on the shore saying, "Where's my son?" When they found out the generals had abandoned them to drown, they went to their equivalent of city council, the Athenian Assembly, and said, "Vote to execute all of them." And with no three reading rule and no restraint, they did so. Socrates objected, a fairly wise man by most accounts, and he was actually ordered to recruit one of the generals and bring him to the execution. Socrates refused, and truthfully, that's one of the reasons why he was ultimately executed himself, forced to drink hemlock. So our tradition of the three reading rule in Willoughby Hills dates back thousands of years to ancient Athens, and only in instances where a mayor would cross the line so severely, where time is really this urgent, is it appropriate to waive the three reading rule? And that's why I'm very much in favor of doing so tonight, because 3 weeks is hardly enough time to answer, since the mayor squandered the time the law already gave us. Thank you.
Madam President, just one last point. I just want to mention that while Councilman Plechnik is correct, there were several in the past that were We did do the three that were waived and adopted. This year alone, 23 of the 27 ordinances that have been before this council have been waived and adopted. So we have not been reading them three very much this year, at least.
And, Mr. Helm, you haven't been on council as long as I have, or Councilman Fiebig, and we waived and adopt everything years ago. Just as
a
comparison.
We haven't been lately.
Just as a comparison. Okay, so this is to waive and adopt. Vicki?
Pismo, yes. Plechnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
The motion to waive the three reading rule on 2018-27 has passed.
Madam President?
Councilwoman Pismo?
Move to adopt ordinance number 2018-27.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo, a second from Vice President Plechnik, to adopt Ordinance 2018-27. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, has the mayor explained to anyone at this dais why he failed to defend the city?
No, not me.
I pose the question to anyone at this dais. Has the mayor explained to a single member of council why he not only fired the labor attorney who was defending the city, but then chose not to defend us?
Mr. Plechnik, I also sent an email to the mayor asking where he was at our committee meetings last week and where he was at the council meeting, stating that we had several very important issues. I just wanted to know where he was, what was more important. And it was a polite email, but I got no response to it.
Madam President, so I take it to mean the mayor has not explained to a single elected official in the city his reasoning or purpose for leaving the city completely undefended against a lawsuit that could cost the city, over time, millions of dollars? I'm really shocked that not a single person in this dais has had a conversation with the mayor about why he would do this to our residents. And why isn't he here to answer that question tonight? I mean, that there is no defending this behavior. Anyone who defends it is either in on something or truly doesn't understand. At this point, we all need to walk out as a community and ask our mayor, why won't you defend us? And if you're not ready to do the job, then please let someone else do it. There is no defending this. You can't say it's good to leave our city undefended in a lawsuit. That's like saying, well, you know, it's good to go door to door and give residents E. coli. You can't defend some behavior. And I'm just shocked and horrified to hear that he hasn't even discussed his reasoning with a single council member.
So, some of that. So, Councilwoman Lenz, has the mayor spoken to you?
Not at all.
Councilman Pismo?
No.
Councilman Phoebe?
No, I said no.
Vice President Pleshnik?
No.
Councilman Hallam?
No.
And I have not, just for the record.
Anything Madam else? President, there was some talk, and I think in the mayor's memo to us earlier today, he talked about council usurping his authority, and I think that the word usurp tends to it lends itself to an interpretation that council's trying to take his power away from him, or we want to have this power, or some sort of nefarious intent here. And I think it's fair to say, and I can't speak for you, Council President, but I tend to think that you don't actually want to exercise this power. That, and I can again speak for myself, I just want someone to defend the city and do the job. And when our mayor is unable to do his job for any reason, as our charter says, then it is the council president's duty to do the job for him in his place. So we are just following the charter, and we're trying to do what's right to preserve the safety and welfare of our community, which we are tasked to do under our charter. It's our duty to do those things, and it is our duty to make sure that the work of the city gets done, even if the mayor chooses to or refuses to or cannot do it. Thank you.
Madam President.
Yes. Yes.
Respectfully, I disagree with that comment in that the ruling from the judge on the past court proceedings states that council's determination that the mayor is unable to perform his duties for such purposes pursuant to Section 2.4 of the Charter is an error and contrary to law. Invoking that section and using it to strip the mayor of his statutory and charter powers to make the council president acting mayor is not warranted. Council makes the argument that unable to perform his duties for any cause is a phrase which council is empowered to define. It is not. The construction of a charter is a matter of law to be determined by a court. And then it goes on to say, while council may have some discretion in determining when a mayor is unable to perform his duties for any cause, its judgment is not unfettered. A mayor cannot be ousted from performing the duties that the position entails at the whim of council. In the instant case, the grounds recited alleged Mayor Wager, I won't even read that part, you guys know that part, but anyway, and it goes on to say that the court found that the found that unable to perform suggests that a legal disability is a prerequisite to suspending a mayor from his or her duties. A legal disability means a debilitating mental or physical condition, or a legal one such as conviction of a felony. So I just want this particular ordinance, there are elements of it that look very similar to this 2017-88 that was ruled unlawful and illegal, and I'm just wondering who authored this ordinance? Madam President, I'm asking you.
Who authored it?
Mm-hmm.
There was a combination of Councilman Pismo, Lenz, all of us, except probably you.
Thank you.
Madam President, you know, the idea that this is at our whim is just not true, and what the judgment says is that there needs to be a legal disability, and under the Ohio Revised Code, I would argue that when the mayor would be violating Ohio law or Ohio ethics law and committing a crime by acting or failing to act, that is unable to discharge his duties. That is a case where a mayor should recuse himself, and when the mayor won't recuse himself or doesn't realize he should recuse himself, which is probably what's going on here, it is our duty to ensure that he does, because we don't want the mayor to, by failing to act or act, violate the Ohio ethics laws, which would be a crime, or to violate the Ohio Revised Code Section 4117.20, which prevents or forbids the city's negotiator from having a conflict of interest, such as what is demonstrated here in the exhibits attached to this ordinance.
Madam President, just to follow off that point, if you review the exhibits to the ordinance, which are posted to our city website and a public record, you'll see that the mayor many times refers to the council's budget, which, once again, balanced the budget, reduced the city debt, increased funding for our safety forces and repaving our roads, but did reduce some positions, some of which were in the secretary's or AFSCME union. He repeatedly refers to that budget as union busting, which is exactly the allegation in the ULP. If you believe that, and you state that, the city is wrong and should lose, you are not in a position to defend the city. And I don't think any reasonable person in good faith would argue that if someone goes to you and says, you're a murderer, that you would then turn around and say, I'm hiring you to be my defense attorney in my murder case. You cannot represent and defend the city when you say the city is wrong. And he said in writing, on the record, in his veto letters, at council meetings, in mayor's reports, that the city is wrong. And okay, as Mr. Miller's pointed out, we all have our opinions. And if the mayor really, truly believes the city is wrong and should lose, he's entitled to his personal opinion. But he can't then proceed to tank the city's case and fail to respond. He would appropriately recuse himself and let someone who believes in the city defend it. If he really finds the cause of our city so distasteful and so wrong, there's nothing preventing Mayor Wager from saying, I think the city's wrong, I refuse to defend it, I recuse myself, let someone else do the work. What you can't do is say the city's wrong, and as its chief executive and defender, I'm deliberately going to tank the case so that all of you residents and taxpayers now have to pay because I've decided that you're wrong and I'm going to help the other side win over the side that I am a fiduciary to. So it's really a very simple problem that unfortunately has gotten out of hand. And I never thought Mayor Wager would let it go this far, that he would fire the attorney who won the first unfair labor practice, successfully defended you, and then would sit on the complaint and do nothing, presumably to make our city lose. This is, once again, we can't debate this. That is not okay. It's arguably criminal. It's certainly unethical. And I think there needs to be a full investigation to find out what did Mayor Wager know, when did he know it, what was his intent. He needs to state on the record to us, what were you thinking when you let this go? Because if your answer is, I wanted to secure an unlawful benefit, I wanted to make sure that the city lost, and so various individuals would get jobs or compensation as a result of you, the taxpayer, losing, I think that's a one-way ticket to jail. And I really want to hear Mr. Wager tell us what he was thinking. He owes us, as the people he represents, that explanation. But realistically speaking, we really need to hear from our mayor. He needs to tell us why he didn't defend the city. But he needs to stop pretending he doesn't have a conflict, because his own words state the conflict.
Mickey, call the vote.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hollum.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Ordinance 2018-27 has been adopted.
Madam President, motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and second Vice President Pleshnik to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on an adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Meeting adjourns at 9:03 p.m. Thank you.